afternoon slash evening to every one of you. If I sound a little bit croaky, I'm suffering from a very severe illness. It's called sort of man flu. It is a very serious illness and condition, and I know women often don't understand this, but it is a very serious condition. So if I do sound slightly croaky, that's the reason why. Another sad thing, apart from my great ill health, is the fact it's the last episode, the last instalment of our look at the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to just look at the last three verses, and we're going to, if you like a title, we're going to have the shortest title for a talk ever delivered at SVC. Yet. That's it. That's the title. Yet. Okay, so you have to do too much typing, Daz, when you put that on the podcast. Yet. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at. But just quick reminder, we're looking at Habakkuk, and it's one of the minor prophets, and it's there, and hopefully, if nothing else, you've learnt where the book of Habakkuk is in the Bible. So you might forget everything else, but hey, I remember where Habakkuk is. I want to remind you as well of what his name means. His name means clinger. So we said in the first week he was a Klingon. Or a wrestler, somebody who's holding on tight. And that's relevant because as we've seen the story of Habakkuk, he's been wrestling with some of the great problems of life. He's been wrestling with, God, why don't you? God, how long before? He's wrestling with these things, but through all his wrestlings, through all his questioning of God, he still clings on to his relationship with God, as we will see today. So his name is very, very relevant. So let's just have a quick look at Habakkuk's progress. In chapter 1 of Habakkuk, and in verses 2 and 3, here's what Habakkuk was saying. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will hear? In verse 3, why do you look at iniquity? Why do you not do anything? So he starts his experience of questioning God. And we said it's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to be questioning God. That's fine. But that's how Habakkuk starts off. He starts off questioning in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, we see that he's waiting. In verse 1, I will take my stand at the watchpost, station myself on the tower, and look out to see. What will he say to me? What I will answer concerning my complaint? Verse 3, for still the vision awaits, that vision of coming judgment that was coming. Still it awaits for the appointed time. It hastens to the end. If it seems slow, wait for it. So he moved from questioning to waiting, and then he moves to trusting. And I think a lot of us go through that experience. We can start off questioning God, and then we need to wait for God and wait for his answers that may take whatever. But if we come to that place of Habakkuk chapter 3, where we're trusting God, then we're making the same progress. So let's just read through the last three verses of Habakkuk chapter 3. Eric tried to pinch some of them last week in an outrageous attempt of nicking some of my sermon. But let's just have a look at the last three verses of Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet, that's where it comes in, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on the high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. That last bit is, if you remember from what Eric said last week, the whole of chapter 3 is a prayer, but it was a prayer set to be a song. And they sang their prayer. And that's what this is. This is part of that song, part of that prayer that they made and part of that prayer song. I don't know whether you know what it's like to have bad times and bad experiences. I like this. You know when you're in trouble when. You know when you're in trouble when a copy of your birth certificate comes in the mail marked null and void. You know when you're in trouble when the candles on your cake set off your smoke detector. You know you're in trouble when you wake up face down on the pavement. You know when you dial 999 and they put you on hold. You know you're in trouble when you take an assertiveness training course and you're afraid to tell your wife. You know you're in trouble when your friends send your wife sympathy cards on your wedding anniversary. You know you're in trouble when you make more than you've ever made, you owe more than you've ever owed, and you have less than you've ever had. You know when you're in trouble. And that is how this section begins, doesn't it? In verse 17. You know when you're in trouble. When? And look at the things that are in that section. There was no blossom on the tree. Or it's actually, technically, if you read it, it means there's no bud. Because on a fig tree there was no blossom like flower. It was fruit. But there was no blossom there. There was no fruit. There was no olives. There was no food. There were no herds. There was everything. He was looking forward to that time when he said, everything will be gone. There'll be nothing left. And maybe there are times in your life when you can say, I've gone through a time when I feel everything in my life has been gone and taken from me. And I've been stripped down to just me. Just like sometimes, you know, you might have something that's not working and you might strip it down and take it all down to pieces. And you feel that's how you were like. Whenever I've tried to take things down to pieces and never quite been able to put them back together again. But God, sometimes in our lives we have that time when we just strip right down to just us. If you know the story of Jacob, that night he sent his family across the river. He sent all his possessions across the river. And he was just left with him. And that night God came and wrestled with him. When everything else had gone, when there was just him that was left, that's when God met him. That's when God dealt him. There was nothing left to rely on. Yet. And that's the turning point. There are times when in your life, everything will be gone. There are things that you lean on and rely on that are your security. People might have security in their certain relationships, security in certain possessions or your home. And there are people you know who have gone through a time when those things that they normally lean on, normally rely on, are taken away. Yet in those times you can meet God. And that's what Habakkuk was saying. Yet when all of this is taken away, though all these things are happening, what is the next thing he says? Yet I will rejoice. Joy. I will take joy. And you might think, well, joy in bad times is, you don't feel like leaping up like in that photograph there. But in the actual Hebrew, the word for joy there is literally leaping up. Or doing, I think the Message translation actually says, doing a cartwheel. Now, you might say, how on earth can I leap in the air, do a cartwheel in the times when everything else has gone? Things that I normally rely on are chipped away. Yet, then, I can rejoice. And it comes down to this. What is the source of your joy? What are you rejoicing in? Because if we're rejoicing in the possessions that we have, and they're gone, then our joy is gone. If we're rejoicing in our relationship and the relationship fails and crashes and burns, where's our joy? But if our joy is in God, he will never be gone. God is always there. And if our source of joy is in him, then you have got something that is totally reliable. You see, we're not rejoicing for our circumstances. We're rejoicing in the one who is with us in our circumstances. It's not putting on a blinkers and shutting our eyes and going, la, 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 it's not really happening. Life's not really being horrible, la, la, la. We're not being deniers of the realities of life. But we're saying, in the realities of life, I will look to my God. That's what I will do in the realities of my life. I will find my joy on him. I'm going to fix my eyes, not on my troubles, but I'm going to fix my eyes on my God. And that's how I can rejoice, even when all those things are taken away. Though the fig tree should not blossom, there's no fruit on the vines, there's no cattle in the stalls, yet I will take joy. And it was a choice. I will take joy. It wasn't infused in him. He was almost saying, I'm going to make a decision here. I'm going to focus on God, and I'm going to be joyful, even though I might not feel like it. Even though I might not feel like it, I'm going to worship. You know, we sometimes forget how important to worship God is. I often think of worship is when it's like a balloon. You know, when you worship God, it's like going up to glory. And I'm tagging onto the string and it's pulling me up there with it. And I'm going, I'm praising God and it's lifting me into his presence out of that. You know, maybe it's not a very biblical one. Oh, praise like the balloon that you're holding on to that's taking you up, or Mary Poppins' umbrella or something like that. But that's the image in my mind of rejoicing and it taking us away from that and focusing and taking us in to the very presence of God. Verse 19. God, the Lord, is my strength. What's strength? What's strength? It's a word we use, isn't it? What's strength? Strength is power. It's power to lift things. You know, oh, I've got the strength to lift this. Or the power to move things. It's also, according to the dictionary, the power, strength is to be able to endure pressure. So, you know, you could build a structure, a building, a wall, and you can say that's a strong wall because it can withstand the pressure. So, God is my strength. So what does that mean in practice? That means in practice that God will give us the power to move on in our lives. The power to move. You know, if you think of something big and heavy like a massive big diesel engine or something like that, you know, how has that got the power just to move something so heavy? But it does. And God can give us the power to move us on. So I can't move on in this situation. Yet all these things are happening. Yet God can move me on. But the power to withstand pressure. There are people here in this room I know who could say, I've gone through all sorts of horrible things in my life, but God, in that situation, gave me the power to withstand the pressure of that. It was horrible. I didn't like that time in my life, but God was my strength. He supported me. And that is what it says over in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God says, I want to be your power, your strength, even though you may be battling difficult things and facing difficult things, just as Habakkuk was. Verse 19 also, he makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. a deer going up onto the mountainous thing. They're sure-footed. God can make sure that even though things are tough, you can be sure-footed. You're not going to be rocked. I can remember the worst time I was going through in my life. I remember people said, how on earth can you stay so, not firm, you know, but do you know what I mean? You can stay sure-footed. Stability. Because God can be your stability in the troubles and the storm that's going on around you. And your security. And he lifts us to the high places. You see, we can't get to the high places by ourselves. And often the high places is where you get the clear air and you get the view. And God, I can lift you, you to be like a deer, to be sure-footed, to be secure. But you can then get some perspective with God. You can get some perspective on your situation. Just like the deer can be there beyond what we can expect. Beyond what we can expect. In the human, we might expect to be wallowing in this. But God can lift us to those places where we can see and experience beyond what we would expect. Does that make sense? Just look at this photograph. See what I mean? Deer on the bricks of a reservoir. If you can't see them from the back, here's the deer, and there's some of the young on the reservoir wall. Sure-footed. Even in the most perilous situation, they were secure. And God says to Habakkuk, he will make my feet like the deer's and make me tread on my high places. What a prospect to say, even though the wall may be like that, I can put you there and you can be secure in that place. I can make you secure on that place. So you don't slip and fall. You can have security because you're based in me. So, we've looked at Habakkuk for the last five sessions. We looked at Habakkuk. What can we learn from the book of Habakkuk? Well, I think there are five things that we can look for. In the Hebrew, some of the early cries of Habakkuk can actually be read as if they were a scream. And Habakkuk was screaming out to God, why this? How long this? But God changed Habakkuk from having a scream to a song. What a change. From a scream, why? I don't like this. I don't like your answers. To a song where he was praising God and saying, you give me joy, you give me strength, you give me the feet of a deer, you lift me to the high places. He went from a scream to a song. Secondly, you can trust God even when we don't understand. We like to know the answers. We like to know why. We like to know reasons. But you don't need to know them. You don't need to know them. You need to know who's with you. You need to know who can help you. You need to know who you turn to. But we don't need, and God will never promise to send you all the neat answers to your questions on a tight piece of A4 for you to fold up and say, excellent, I'll put that in the file called understanding. I'll lift my understanding file and pop in all your neat answers. Thank you very much. Excellent. He never promises that. He never promises to explain things to you. He never says, now, I will explain everything always. He says, lo, I will be with you always. So we can trust God even when we don't understand. Lesson 3. Circumstances don't have to dictate to us. Circumstances don't have to dictate to us. If you've got a train, you've got an engine at the front and all the carriages, and if the engine at the front is called circumstances, it doesn't have to take you with it. You don't have to be coupled to your circumstances. You can say, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to trust God. My circumstances may be going that way. I accept they're real. I understand. But I am not going to be pulled along by my circumstances. Our circumstances don't have to do that. He went from worry to worship. That's how he went. Habakkuk went from worry to worship. Our circumstances don't have to define us. Four, we might want answers, but what Habakkuk got was not answers, but a relationship. And a relationship with God was more important than the answers from God. He didn't understand why the Babylonians were going to invade his nation. He knew they were. But what was important and what God wants from us is our relationship. That's the key thing. Our relationship with him. That was what was important. And if you don't have a relationship with God, and you say, I don't really know God, then I want to tell you, that's what God wants for you. He wants you to have a relationship with him. That's the crucial thing. You might want answers. Well, why did this and how did this happen and can I believe this? Let's just get to the core. Do you want to know God? Because God wants to know you. Finally, we live by faith. One of the key verses in there was the righteous will live by faith. And we said when we looked at that, that that was a key part of our understanding. And you might say, Trevor, I find it hard to live by faith. To which I will say, yeah, you're right. It is hard to live by faith. It's a lot harder to live without faith. It's hard to live by faith. It's hard to say, I'm going to put my trust in God. It's hard in the difficult times to say, yes, I'm going to trust God. But you try living without the faith. There's no comparison. And so the righteous will live by faith. We live by faith. And it actually, in the Hebrew, there's no evidently term for faith as we think of it. It's always faithfulness. So it's our faithfulness with him and our daily walk with him, trusting in him every step of the way. So as in this year, 2016, as a church, we put our emphasis on our growing in grace and in our knowledge. So we've found out that sometimes our knowledge will be incomplete. We can grow in knowledge of all sorts of things, but sometimes our knowledge of why in a particular thing will be incomplete. But if we grow in our relationship with God, then we're growing in grace. Because he provides, through grace, access to knowing him. And that's just pure grace. Growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? We thank you for the book of Habakkuk. We thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it. And we thank you, Lord, that whether our situations are happy and whether our situations is just so downpulling in so many ways, we pray that we will look to you, that we will find joy in you, in our relationship with you. We will find a strength that comes from you that is beyond what is natural. We pray, Lord, that we will find that deer's sure-footedness, even in what we think is perilous, that you just provide with us that security and that strength. So, Lord, we look to you above everything else. Amen.